this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, the March and April 2020 edition. On the cover of this edition is Taraji P. Henson. And so we're actually going to go over her cover story finally for this month. It's titled, From Taraji with Love. Passion has always been Taraji P. Henson's superpower. Now as she says goodbye to Cookie, her award-winning role in Empire, she's fueling up to focus on what's next and what's closest to her heart. Taraji P. Henson is standing in a season of abundance, shining as bright as the marquees on which we've seen her name for more than two decades. And then there's her inner glow, which the Golden Globe award-winning actress laughingly attributes to a mostly vegan diet and probiotics. But we know better, especially after eyeing her beautiful engagement ring up close. More recently, Henson has also been focusing her star power on countering mental health stigma among Black Americans. This past June, she returned to her hometown of Washington, D.C., where she testified before Congress during a Congressional Black Caucus Emergency Task Force on Black Youth Suicide and Mental Health. She was there to speak on behalf of her Boris Lawrence Henson Foundation, named for her late father, and her mission was personal. In the African-American community, we don't deal with mental health issues. We've been taught to pray our problems away, she noted. I'm here using my celebrity, using my voice, to put a face to this, because I also suffer from depression and anxiety. And if you're a human living in today's world, I don't know how you're not suffering in any way. Fortunately, Henson has found light in the darkness. At 49, she's a blushing first-time bride-to-be set to walk down the aisle this summer with the love of her life, fiancé Kelvin Hayden. Not only is she busy planning her dream wedding, but somehow one of the hardest-working women in the industry also found time to launch a natural hair care line for women. TPH by Taraji. So Essence actually, in this particular edition, is asking her some questions and then she responds, such as the first question is, yes, girl podcast co-host Charlie Penn and Corey Murray visited Henson in Los Angeles, where the actress and entrepreneur gave the backstory on her new venture. Explain why she'll never stop advocating for our mental health and shared how she plans to continue living with gratitude. Here's an excerpt of that conversation. Welcome back, Taraji. The last time we all spoke, you were our guest on the episode of our podcast we taped in Montego Bay, Jamaica. That was an epic conversation. We have so much fun with you. And Taraji's response is, that was a great backdrop, ladies. We talked about a lot. We went through your Hollywood receipts and met your then-boyfriend, Kelvin. A lot has happened since then because now you're engaged. Right. I was all on hush because I had to make sure it was forever, honey. We plan to get married this summer. He can't wait. He's like, I want my ring. We can't wait. I've waited my whole life for this moment. It's not going to be a big show. It's going to be a really small. I'm not going to have a bridal party either. Nice and simple. That's not the only big thing that happened or that is happening for you in 2020. You just launched a hair care line. It's something I've been working on since I started wearing a weave back in the 1990s. I'm from D.C. We were very serious about our hair. I used to do $20 roller sets in college. That was my McDonald's money, and I found a solution to a real problem. When I first started getting weaves, I loved my hair, but I just wanted to preserve it because I heard these stories about people losing their edges and your hair thinning out from being in the industry. also because I have very dense hair. And I was like, okay, so now I have a problem because I can wash the weave really well and that'll be clean. But how do I penetrate the weft and get down to the scalp? I know that a lot of women think that just because they have an install that their hair is protected and it's healthy. You have to clean your scalp first, but think about it. If you had dense hair and it's a scalp product that you're using, by the time it gets to your root, because I turn into a chia pet when my hair gets wet, it's harder to get to the scalp. So that's where the Tri-Touch applicator we developed for $500 worth of candies, or that we developed for my line, comes in. That's when I said, wow, this is going to be great, not only for people who have installs, but also for people who have really thick, dense hair, like the 4C curly girls. That makes so much sense. Often, you have so many products and you just don't know how to use them. But because I formulated these myself, I can tell you exactly what to do, how to use them, when to use them, and what I do for my hair. Because that's what I was finding. People started taking to my hair. When I would take the weaves out and show my hair, they were like, oh my God, how did you do it? How did you do it? It would have been so hard for me to try to explain. I went on vacation with girlfriends and they had protective styles and were complaining about their scalps itching. I said, try this. I put the apartis all together. They were like, oh my God, I've never felt this. I was like, I'm on to something. Was this your first shot at entrepreneurship? Before I booked Baby Boy, I took a community college class on how to make candles, and I turned it into a business. It was called Light My Fire, and I would make candles for my friends who were lucky enough to be booked on television shows. Paula J. Parker, if you're out there, girl, I love you, because she was my first client. She bought like $500 worth of candles because she gave them as gifts to her cast and crew. And girl, I love you, honey. Do you know that paid my rent that month, that year? And it was Christmas and my baby had gifts under the tree. You always find a way to have a good time. I do. It's getting harder nowadays. Look at where we are. It doesn't help my anxiety and depression. It's a struggle. It's like after a certain age, the rose-colored glasses come off. And this is the thing I really want to discuss and tackle. Women, I know we all have enamored and we're in love and how black don't crack and we all love the youthfulness. And yes, I'm pushing 50 and we that, you know, have all that together. We don't all have all that together. Yes, that's great. But let's be real. There are things that happen to us physically and we get so caught up on the aesthetics that we really never talk about perimenopause and how that directly affects you mentally. Depression lows and you not knowing where stuff is coming from. Yes, we look good, but I had to say something. Not even like a cursory, oh yeah, I have my problems. I have my days. You're right. We need to really delve deep into depression and how it's affecting our lives. We have not even dealt with slavery. We are walking around still traumatized. All these microaggressions or macroaggressions against us, and we have to wake up every day. I don't know a black person who can sleep soundly at night knowing loved ones are out in the world. We're going to take that to our grave. Do you understand? We got to stop messing around with these titles, and I get it, black girl magic, I get it. But you have to be careful because if you say magical, it makes us otherly, right? So yes, your son died last night, but look how she got over it and she's marching through it. She forgave, but I'm tired of forgiving. That pain has physical and mental effects. I'm so happy you have mentioned therapy publicly. When I first went public and said it, that was a relief right there because then I didn't feel alone. I saw all the divas, me too, that right there can soothe you because we're not alone. It just makes me feel like I've found my life's purpose, talking about mental health. I was trying to find it through acting, but then people get caught up in the celebrity of all of it. This is real. This is straight to the chase. This is not washed up in Hollywood glamour. This is me, and this is my passion, and this is what I'm about. So can we talk about your legacy? How do you plan on saying goodbye to Cookie Lyon after 6 seasons of Empire? I don't know yet. I really don't know. I know people are not ready to say goodbye to her. With the Empire finale coming, your new hair care business, your wedding, and turning 50 in September, how do you see the year ending? I'm always trying to be my better self to grow and learn more about myself. I need to work on my patience. Everyone needs to work on their compassion. There are days when I'm better at it and days when I've been through stuff and I don't care. I just want to continue to work on me and be the best version of myself that I can be before I leave this earth. And you exhibit so much gratitude, Taraji. I'm very grateful. And on to our next article. It's titled Beautiful Minds. Change starts from the inside out, which is why these 17 black women working in the beauty industry are truly revolutionary. They are powerfully positioned at some of the biggest brands in the world and making their presence felt. Meet these inspiring executives and learn why their efforts mean so much to them and to women of color everywhere. Breon Davis, she is the senior brand manager for multicultural hair care, Procter & Gamble. Quote, "It's incredibly important for us to have representation at all levels. At the end of the day, I don't know if we can always rely on people who don't look like us to have our best interests in heart. So we need to be in those positions. I'm just thankful that I can be there to represent, because who knows us better than us?" End quote. Celessa Baker, she is the senior director of brand marketing for color at Sephora. Quote, "You can't even explain the energy in the room when we're all together. It's refreshing because seeing us sitting across the table from one another is rare. To know that we are out there and we can connect has been life-changing. Watching other women take charge of companies, become CEOs and CMOs is inspiring. I've only been in beauty for 5 years, but I'm really thinking about how I can take the energy of this photo shoot back to Sephora, back to home, back to my network, and really pay it forward." Susan Ackett, she is the senior vice president of local and cultural innovation at Estee Lauder. Quote, "It's energizing to be a black woman in this field. I always like to say beauty is culture and beauty is anthropology and how you feel about yourself and your identity. The way you're putting yourself forward in the world is so important. The changes we brought to the beauty industry are just incredible." End quote. Cara Sabine, she is the chief executive officer for Sundial Brands. Quote, "I've been on this journey for almost 20 years, so I am so proud to see that our contributions are starting to be recognized. We need to do more than take up space. We need to be leading and driving, meaning we shouldn't just be the consumers or the face of the brand. We should be decision makers in the C-suite, in product development, in the sourcing, literally everything." End quote. Kendra Bracken Ferguson, she is the chief business officer for BeautyCon and founder Brain Trust. Quote, "I have to catch my breath because when I started in my career, I spent so much time as the only black woman. I would be the one who was leading the meeting or the presentation, and then someone would come up to me and say, 'Can you make copies or can you get water?' And I'm like, 'No, I'm actually leading this meeting.' I didn't understand the power of being a black woman performing in these settings. Now it's about how do I provide a pathway? How can I be a gateway?" End quote. Crystal Stedman Thompson, She is the Assistant Vice President of Brand Communications for L'Oréal Paris. Quote, "It's beautiful to know I will be an example for my daughter, who's 6 months old. She'll be able to pick up a magazine or go online and see beauty represented in a way that reflects who she is. And she'll know that I had a part in that. I contributed to that. I helped to set those trends." End quote. Kelly Keith. She is the Vice President of Marketing for Strength of Nature. Quote, "Often when we're speaking to African-American women, we think the only difference is their skin, brown versus the general market. But there are so many nuances. And it's important for me that we bring that through, not only in the products we create, but also in the marketing we do." End quote. Kristen Blandon. She is the Vice President of Marketing for L'Oréal USA. "Part of why I love my job is because I can show women of color everywhere that, yes, we know about being lawyers or doctors when we're young, but we don't know that you can also lead a brand you use every day to make yourself feel special." End quote. Crystal Andrews Banks. She is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion for Ulta Beauty. Quote, "At the end of the day, we're training a cultural movement, and it's all about recognizing, acknowledging, and appreciating everyone's differences. So often, African-American women have been the overlooked consumer, and that stops now." End quote. Ukonwa Oji. She is the Chief Marketing Officer and Senior Vice President for MAC Cosmetics. Quote, "We need to have diversity in front of and behind the camera, because that ensures that we are developing products that work for people of color and that we're developing campaigns that tell their stories." End quote. Kenya Eldridge. She is the Director for Global and Global Marketing for Shiseido Makeup. Quote, "It's a very special time because we're getting more attention. Brands now know that they have to address the needs of all their consumers. Increasingly, women of color are looking for authenticity. It's not enough to feature us in some Instagram post. In order for brands to be successful, black women need to be where we can influence shades and formulas and the messaging. Because if we're not there, certain nuances often go overlooked." End quote. Sarah Ibrey. She is the Director of Marketing for Unilever Face Care. Quote, "It's really great to be able to bring my whole self to work, not just the professional side of marketing beauty for 20 years. I bring the personal knowledge of being a black woman to the development of products and the purpose of the brands." End quote. Cheryl Atkins Green. She is the Chief Marketing Officer for Mary Kay Incorporated. Quote, "As a black woman, I had to discover how to embrace my beauty and appreciate the uniqueness of it and the uniqueness of beauty for all women. In my role, I'm excited that I can help other women embrace their authentic beauty too." End quote. Stephanie Davis Mitchellman. She is the Vice President and General Manager for Bobbi Brown North America. Quote, "I want my 7-year-old daughter to see someone who looks like me or looks like her in magazines on television so she doesn't feel isolated. I cast talent for our branded content, so I am able to do that for her and other young girls." End quote. Sarah Curtis Henry. She is the Chief Marketing Officer for Tatcha. Quote, "I left Wall Street for the beauty industry. One reason is that there wasn't a lot of representation, and I wanted our voices to be heard through me. Being in those conference rooms is very important. It's part of what drives me and what makes me passionate about what I do." End quote. Tracy Jennings. She is the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Brand Engagement for Sundial. Quote, "Everyone wants a piece of black women. The onus is on us to force those uncomfortable moments to make sure that we're not being exploited and looked at as the next dollar, to make sure we're really being understood, celebrated, and respected, end quote. Chandra Coleman Harris. She is the senior vice president of U.S. marketing for Revlon. Quote, I came into the beauty because it was dynamic and fun. It is such a personal category that women relate to. But now I'm a mother of two girls, so it means every, or even more, it's a responsibility. It means everything to me to be able to voice my opinion through my lens for others who look just like me. Because I have a voice, my kids will also have a voice in how they shape and envision beauty, end quote. And we're also going to cover another story, obviously, and this is at the 2020 Essence honoree. And that honoree is going to be Burna Boy from Nigeria, Aya Nukamara from Mali, Shomajozi from South Africa. So in early 2018, Grammy-nominated Burna Boy boldly announced that he was an African giant. His fourth studio album and accompanying world tour, both also aptly named African Giant, proved his claim to the title even before Beyonce honored him on her Lion King The Gift album with the track All to Himself, the mesmerizing French Malian singer. Aya Nakamura has dominated the French music charts since her debut album Nakamura dropped in 2018 with her 450 million plus YouTube viewed anthem, Dijada. She is breaking ground as a black woman owning the country's music scene. And then finally, South African Shomajozi's catchy John Cena track not only caught the attention of the WWE wrestling superstar himself, but it also has shown the world that this multi-talented, multilingual star is the future of the continent's pan-African musical dreams. So, Essence African List. From music and tech to art and activism, the continent's brightest are shaping global culture. On a cold February morning in 2005, Nelson Mandela stood in front of a packed crowd in London's Trafalgar Square. At the age of 86, the tall, authoritative figure was now in need of a walking stick. But in that moment, despite his withering appearance, Mandela was determined to share his message. It was the final few words of his message 15 years ago that still strike at the hearts of many descendants of the African diaspora today. Quote, sometimes it falls upon a generation to be great, Mandela said. You can be that great generation. Of course, the task will not be easy, but not to do this will be a crime against humanity. Rise up, end quote. Africa has seen unmatched growth in numerous areas in recent years. As could be expected, at the center of the boom is a visionary generation committed to propelling itself forward in its authentically African way. But it has not been easy. Within the 54 countries in the continent, there are some managing decade-long wars, autocratic government or interminable conflicts. But weaving through all of that, there is creativity, innovation, and light. It is the African way. This light emanates from music pulsating through car radios in Nigeria and Oscar-worthy films from Ghana. It exists in the protests of the democracy that rocked Sudan and Algeria last year, and in the cheers that filled sports bars in South Africa and Kenya during major sport wins. As we enter a new decade of promise and growth, Essence recognizes this generation's magic with our very first African list. Chosen by editors, here are the people, places, voices, ideas, and movements from all over the continent that are shaping tomorrow's Africa. Honoree for Best in Tech at Trailblazers Shaking Up the Landscape. Flutterwave has emerged as a notable fintech entity co-founded by Inuwala Abiji and Oligobinga Agbula. The company produces items that are helping African businesses expand and international e-commerce while allowing them to receive and process payments. In 2019, Triumph was a new partnership with Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba's Alipay, which makes African outfits accessible to 1 billion plus users. WoLab is a maker space in Togo that attracts innovators and startups work with robotics and e-waste. Architect Cinema Kofi established the space in 2012 so that everyone is equal in the face of technology. One product to come out of the tech hub is a 3D printer made out of electronic waste. When Nigerians Sotu Ifuzu Oduyana and Joshua Chimbuzi co-founded what would later be called as Piggy Vest in 2016. They wanted to create an app that would serve as a saving platform to help Nigerians reach their financial goals efficiently. Today, the app allows users to automatically deposit money into monthly savings plans that accrue interest and offers investment opportunities. By mid-2018, PiggyVest had raised $1.1 million in seed funding. And it looks like we have actually run out of time today for today's episode of Essence Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Nicole Hunter, and you have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.